God laid the foundation of the world and he stretched the line upon it. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, he shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth as if it had issued from the womb. No wonder the inspired writer said, everything that has breath ought to praise the Lord, because truly he is worthy. Oh yes, he's worthy to be praised. If you have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to 1 Peter. The chapter is 5. And there is one verse for your consideration. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. 1 Peter 5, verse number 7. If you have that, say amen. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Using that text, I want to talk for a few moments from the subject, feel the pressure, but use the power. Feel the pressure, but use the power. The New International Version renders this verse, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all of your anxiety upon him, for he careth for you. The J.B. Phillips translation in modern English says, put the full weight of your anxiety upon him, because you are his concern. The King James renders it, casting all of your care upon him, because he cares for you. What do you do with your burdens? What do you do with your cares? What do you do with your anxieties? Peter, writing under the auspices and guidance of the Holy Spirit, gives us a word of instruction. He gives us a word of counsel. He gives us a word of encouragement. And he says, cast all of your anxiety upon the Lord. Now, anxiety is a state of worry and stressfulness. In psychiatric terms, it is extreme apprehension about an imagined or real danger. We have to learn what to do with our burdens and our stresses and our anxieties. We have to cast them on the Lord, because he cares about you. It's important that you know that the Lord cares about you, that you matter so much to the Lord. Yes, I know that he takes care of the birds, but I'm much more valuable to God than birds. I know that he takes care of the flowers, but I'm much more valuable to God than flowers. So the Lord is speaking to me in 2012 and speaking to you, and he's saying, feel the pressure, but you use the power. Now, as we share this message today, I want to talk about three things with you. I want to talk about number one, the pressure. That's the first point, the pressure. And point number two, I want to talk about the person of power. And the final point is using your personal power. Using your personal power. Now, pressure is a constant state of worry or urgency. You ever felt any pressure? You feeling any right now? Well, right now, R-A-T. It's when powerful and stressful demands are placed on someone's time, attention, or energy. And of course, pressure sometimes can come from the outside. It can come from external forces. It's forces that push you and urge you. And it affects your thoughts. It affects your behavior in a powerful way. Sometimes we talk about in meteorology, atmospheric pressure. And I know you've heard the old slang cliche that pressure will bust or burst. We don't say burst, we say bust. That pressure will bust a pipe. Is that right? So, what do you do with pressure? I want you to understand, just because you got saved doesn't move the pressure from life. Amen. And there is in the universe attention. There are opposing or antithetical forces. And these forces in the world create tension and pressure because they are trying to overcome each other. You have evil trying to overcome good. You have right trying to overcome wrong. You have good trying to overcome bad. You have Christ, hallelujah, striving to overcome sin and death. And because of it, we live in an environment where there's pressure. And that's why Peter said in this text, casting all of your care upon the Lord, because you are his concern. He cares about you. Well, what are some of the things that cause pressure? Temptation causes pressure, especially when you're trying to do right. Temptation, the Bible says, is the common lot of all people. All people, saved and unsaved, face temptation. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, it says that it is the common lot of all people. Even Jesus Christ faced temptation. Tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And then trouble causes pressure. That's why we sing, trouble in my way. Lord have mercy. Job said a man born of a woman is of a few days and they are full of trouble. Yes, trouble has a way of finding your unlisted telephone number. Trouble can send you an email. Trouble can page you. Trouble can beep you. Is that all right? Trouble has a way of reaching people. And then we have pressure because of economic concerns. Brother Alexander prayed this morning, a lot of people in this economy are under pressure. And they are worried about whether they're going to have the ends or make the ends meet. Some have more month than they have money. And you sometimes wonder whether I'm going to hold on to my job. That's pressure. You sometimes worry whether your savings going to hold up. That's pressure. You sometimes wonder whether there's going to be a retirement for you. That brings pressure. So we're concerned about survival. And that brings pressure. And then we have pressure as we deal with issues of health and sickness. You know, it's pressure to stay well because most of us can't afford to get sick. Oh, I wish I had some help here. Is that all right? And so there's pressure to stay healthy. And of course, if you find yourself getting sick, that's more pressure. Because you're wondering now that I'm ill, will I be able to recover? Can you imagine the woman in Luke chapter 12 with the issue of blood who had been sick for 12 years? Can you imagine the pressure she was under? For 12 years, she exhausted all of her finances until finally in her 12th year, she touched the hem of his garment and she was made whole. But for 12 years, she was under pressure. But finally, in her 12th year, she used the power. And then there's pressure because of violence and evil folks in this world who want to try to hurt you, who want to abuse you and misuse you. There's pressure now when you go to the airport, you got to almost undress to get on the airplane. Is that all right? I was coming back from somewhere, had to take off my shoes and everything. And running, trying to catch the plane. But had to get through security. And that's pressure. Crime rates rising. That creates pressure. And not only that, then we have pressure from the weather. Hello, y'all. Tornadoes create pressure. You better believe it. Is that all right? If you don't think so, just ride down High Bunyan and you'll see that tornadoes create pressure. But not only do tornadoes create pressure, hurricanes create pressure. Tsunamis and typhoons create pressure. Earthquakes create pressure. So it's pressure all around us. We have pressure about our children, whether they're going to be all right. We worry. We find ourselves, well, if I don't say worry, we find ourselves concerned about them and their welfare. And so there's pressure all around us. Amen. There's pressure to work out your salvation, to hold out to the end. To keep the faith, to finish your course, to fight a good fight. Because sometimes the devil just puts stuff in your way. Is that all right? He put roadblocks and stumbling blocks and stumbling stones in your way. So it's pressure to keep on doing what you're doing. And then there's pressure. Every time this gospel is preached, it produces pressure. And you know why? It is inherently a stressful time because here's the invitation of the gospel. And the gospel said, go into all the world. This is what the Almighty God said, the Most High God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature or every human being or every individual. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. The very invitation of the gospel creates pressure. A lot of people don't realize, but it is a serious thing when the Lord extends his invitation. Now, a lot of people take that lightly. A lot of folks think they have an endless amount of time to get it together. But the counsel of the Holy Bible is, the day you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. The counsel is, today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. It is never a wise move to put off your salvation for tomorrow when you could be saved today. Is that all right? And that within itself brings pressure. Think about some people under pressure in Scripture. Brother Sperling read about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was under pressure. He was dealing with the pressure of trying to be the Savior of the world. You think Obama got pressure? Can you imagine trying to save the whole world? And there he was in Gethsemane, struggling, feeling the pressure. He was feeling so pressured, he took Peter, James, and John to have a prayer meeting. They couldn't even stay awake. That was more pressure. Instead of them going to pray with him, they went and went to sleep with him. He was the only one praying. Asked God if it be possible. Lord, let this cup pass. And then he said, if it is your will that I must drink this cup, then not my will, but your will. But the Bible says he began to be extremely sorrowful. He was feeling low. He was feeling the pressure. But I want you to understand, what do you do when you feel it? You got to use the power. One of the best things I would recommend for you when you're really feeling it is to go pray. Don't go get you a six-pack and drink your troubles away. Go and pray about it. Is that all right? What do you do when you feel the pressure? I don't know. Perhaps somebody sitting here today is under extreme pressure. You're not sleeping like you ought to be sleeping. You're not eating the way you ought to be eating. Because you're under. You're feeling. You don't know how it's going to turn out. So what do? Jesus went to the garden to pray. And isn't it ironic that the one who told us, let not your heart be troubled, found his heart troubled in Gethsemane. Isn't it ironic that the one who told a woman at Jacob's well, I could give you living water, found himself on the blood-drenched slopes of Calvary saying, I thirst. Isn't that ironic? Even Jesus felt the pressure. You can't live in this world and don't feel no pressure. Rich, poor, black, white, male, female, you're going to feel some pressure. The Apostle Paul said, Brother Hillary, let's go. You have the New International Version? That's all right, Brother Hillary. I appreciate you. I'll tell you, he just Johnny on the spot. He just bring both Bibles with him, and some folk won't bring no Bible. Preach, Moss. Is that all right? What does 2 Corinthians 11:28? I want to read this verse from the NIV because it makes a point. Listen to what Paul said. Paul was an apostle. He established some churches, and he was feeling the pressure. Sometimes I ask myself, How in the world you went into the ministry? You had to be crazy. Amen. What does 2 Corinthians 11:28 say? Read it.
Besides everything else.
Besides everything else.
I face daily. The pressure of my concern.
The pressure. Look at that. Do you see that? He said, besides everything else. Haven't you heard it's one thing or another? Haven't you heard that? You fix that, then something else break loose. Huh? You try to, isn't it interesting that when folks need you the most, you the tiredest? You ever just thought about that? When folks really need you, man, I'm tired. But that's when you got to go because you're feeling the pressure. Read it again, brother. Here, what does it say?
Besides everything else.
Besides everything else.
I face daily.
You see, we're facing daily pressures every day. On your job, you got to perform. All right? Because if you don't, they'll sing Ray Charles' song to you. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more. Read it, Brother Hillary. Besides everything else.
I face daily. The pressure of my concern.
Of my concern.
For all the churches.
Besides everything else in my life, I'm facing the pressure because folks trying to mess up the churches. I got these false teachers trying to deceive folks, and I feel the pressure about that. And so that's why I'm writing letters. I'm sending ambassadors. I'm doing all these things because I'm concerned and I'm feeling the pressure. And then Moses, 80 years old, goes down to Egypt to deliver the nation from the clutches of bondage. Leads them through the Red Sea with an outstretched hand. And Moses gets out in the wilderness. And the people are grumbling and complaining. It gets to Moses. So God say, Moses, speak to the rock that it may give water to the people. But Moses under pressure. Under pressure. Moses said, get it, you rebels. And the rock gave water. But God now put some pressure on him. He said, Moses, you have disobeyed me. You failed to sanctify me in the eyes of the people. And as a result of your choice, you are not going to the promised land. You see, pressure can cause you to do something radical. That's why it's best if you frustrated, say very little. Hello, y'all. That's why it's best if you're in an angry state of mind, you don't need to have no discussion. Is that right? God told Moses, Moses began to ask God, let me go up, see that great city. And God said, get up to Mount Pisgah, look eastward, northward, westward, southward. He said, look at it, but you're not going over. And Peter, in this text, he said, when you feel the pressure, saints, whatever you're going through, whatever you're looking at, use your power. I don't know what you're facing, but I know the Bible recognizes stress because it talks about in Matthew 13:22, casting. Brother, it says, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Romans chapter 8, through all of your troubles, the Bible says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Is that all right? The Lord Jesus, recognizing the reality of pressure, said, let not your heart be troubled. Because a lot of time your heart can be troubled, can it? And peace becomes elusive. Here's the final point, church. The second point, the man or the person of power, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the person. Well, what is power? I wrote these down because I wanted you to really get this. He is power. It's the capacity to do something. The ability, strength, and capacity to do something. That's power. Power could be physical force or strength. You know, if you can go here and sit down and get up, that's power. Hello, y'all. If you can walk in this building under your own power, that's power. Is that all right? And so power is, it is the authority to do something. Jesus Christ is the ultimate power. He said, all authority. Do you realize there are some folks in this world got some serious power? And do you realize you probably ain't one of them? Hello, y'all. And they can dramatically affect your life. Is that right? They can put pressure on you. Is that right? But the Bible says that Jesus says that all authority, Lord have mercy, in heaven and in earth is in my hands. Is that right? It's in my hands. Amen. He has won a tremendous victory over sin. He's the only person in this world can help me with my greatest problem, and that's sin, because he died for my sins. But he got up for my justification. Is that all right? So he has gained a victory over sin, death, and the world and the devil. Jesus Christ is wiser than Solomon. He's stronger than Samson. He's the most awesome man that this world has ever known, and God has highly exalted him and given him a name, hallelujah, that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. He got power. And every tongue must. The man got so much power, death couldn't hold him. Are you listening? Laid him in a grave, and 3 days later, here's the real power. Roll the stone away. And to show you how much power he got, you've seen the birds as they wing their way through the air. And that's amazing, isn't it? This man got so much power, one day he stepped on a cloud and went back to heaven. Not Southwest or Delta. He stepped on a cloud. And right now, this man, Jesus Christ, is your power. He's sitting at the right hand of God. I'm so thankful for that. Maybe right now you can't appreciate that, but when you really understand what life is all about, you appreciate the fact that he's at the right hand of God representing us. And so we live in the wisdom of Jesus. We live in the strength of the Lord Jesus. We are inspired by his perfect example. And he says, Lord have mercy, he says, follow me and I'll make a masterpiece of your life. I'll give you a second chance. Isn't he great? Now here's the final point, using your personal power. Now what we have to do, church, everybody here is feeling pressure. Amen. On some level. Remember where you are. Is that all right? And the Bible says, I can do all things through. Can you say that? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that's what it's all about. So what we have to do in conclusion, we have to combine our personal power with the unlimited power of Jesus. Now, everybody here today has personal power. Everybody here. A lot of time we use our power against ourselves. Oh yeah, all of us got power. Let me explain it to you this way. Three levels of power. And even though I'm feeling the pressure, I can connect to the power of Jesus and use my personal power. Well, three areas of personal power. Number one, the power to think, the power to make decisions, and the power to take action. Do you have that power? Do you? You got the power to think. Is that correct? You got a power to make decisions, right? Can't you decide what you're going to eat after church? Can't you decide what you're going to eat? Huh? When you go to McDonald's, they say, may I help you, please? That's power. Right? And whatever you say, that's what they fix. Now, when you get to the one, another power exchange got to take place. Is that right? Or else, Brother Ryan, else you won't get it. Right? And then when you pull down to the pickup, you want your order, don't you? And I've learned one thing, LaToya. Check your order before you leave. Check your order. A lot of times you think they got it right, and man, I ordered two Big Mac Sparks. I didn't need but one, but I paid for two. And I got, when I got home, it had just one in there. I said, well, I ain't going back. I just let it go. Just let it go. Is that all right? Brother Miller said, no, he went back and got his. But I didn't feel like going back. So I just charged that to experience, Claudia. Now watch this, three things. We have the power, whatever you're dealing with. Now, perhaps you can't control what's happening to you, but you can control how you react to it. Hello? Maybe some things are happening in your life out of your control, but you can always control how you respond to what's happening. Amen? So I have the power, as a man thinketh in his heart. So I have the power to think positive and uplifting thoughts, no matter where I am, no matter where I'm going. I got the power to do it. I got the power to change my life. You realize how powerful you are? Romans 12, 2. Let's read it, Brother Hillary, quickly. NIV. Romans 12, 2. What does it say? Romans 12, 2. What does that say?
Do not conform any longer.
Don't conform. Isn't that personal power? Can I decide to conform or transform? Don't I have that power? Don't conform any longer. Read it.
to the pattern of this world.
To the pattern of this world.
But be transformed.
But be transformed. How? Here it is.
By the renewing of your mind.
By your thought processes. By the thoughts you think. By empowering yourself. Feel the pressure, but use the power. And then you got the power to make decisions. You can make quality decisions. Was it not a decision of yours to be in the house of the Lord today? Isn't that a great decision? That I'm going to worship the Lord, because you have the power, and use that power to uplift and strengthen. And that's why God would say to the nation of Israel, Joshua would say, choose you this day. This is the day God has made. I'm so glad God has let me see another year. And I can make this year the best year of my life if I think the quality thoughts, if I make the decisions for God, amen, I can put first things first. I can seek first the kingdom and its righteousness. Or I can decide to keep on doing what I'm doing. Here's the final point. This is a big one. I have the power to engage in certain behavior. I need now 1 Samuel 15, verses 22 and 23. I have the power to obey God or to disobey God. Hello? But I would counsel you, one of the best things you could ever do is obey God. Make that your attitude. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Not always easy, but it's always best. Is that right? If you make a mistake that's not fatal, you can correct that. God gives second chances, third chances, fourth chances. How many chances has the Lord already given us? Can you think about it? How many sins God forgiven you for? Man, I stopped counting back in 65. Amen. Brother Hillel, you have that? NIV? Let's listen to this, church. Listen to this.
But Samuel replied.
Now, this is God told Saul to go and carry out a mission. And we on a mission. Amen. Aren't we on a mission? We can carry it out or we can not carry it out. Is that correct? Saul refused to obey. And here's what God told him. This is very interesting. And I want him to read that from the New International Version, because it shares an insight we need to see today. What does it say, brother? He'll read it.
But Samuel replied. Does the Lord delight in burnt
offerings? Does God delight? What does God really like, y'all? You ever just think about what God likes? We so caught up in what we like. What does God like? What does the Lord delight in? Does the Lord delight in me? Does the Lord delight in you? So Saul goes down. God says, destroy everything. You know what Saul did? How many of y'all like vanilla ice cream? Amen. That's me and you, brother. Don't look like. How many like chocolate? I said, ooh, yeah. My wife told me vanilla ice cream ain't no ice cream. Real ice cream is chocolate. But she told me, I disagree. Homemade blueberry, Brother Hillary. So you know what you like, right? Is that correct? You ever thought about what God delights in? What pleases God? Shouldn't we be thinking about that? Shouldn't we, on a personal level, be thinking about, it ain't all about us. It is about us, but not all about us, because Jesus died for us. Is that right? The church is for us. Is that right? Not for Jesus, it's for us. Read it, Brother Hill. What does it say?
Does the Lord delight in burnt
offerings? Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings?
And sacrifices?
And sacrifices?
As much as in obeying the voice of the Lord?
Does God want people to just, you know, some people would rather go and buy a $4 million ring rather than say, I'm sorry. Sometimes the best thing to say is, I messed up. You ever messed up in your life? More than one time. And you say, man, what in the world was I thinking? And the answer is, you weren't thinking. That's why you did what you did. Read, Brother Hillary.
As much as in obeying the voice
of the Lord. As much as in obeying the voice. God takes more delight in our obedience than anything else. That's real power, obeying God. Amen? Real power is obeying God, feeling the pressure, but use the power. Read, Brother Hillary.
To obey is better than sacrifice.
Is better than sacrifice. Saul offered sacrifice in the place of obedience. I raised a question this morning. What am I offering in the place of obedience? That's something to think about, isn't it? Am I trying to give God anything but obedience? That's what he wants. Read that part again, brother. What does it say?
To obey is better than sacrifice.
Is better than sacrifice.
And to heed.
And to heed or to hearken.
Is better than the fat of rams.
Is better than the fat of rams. Listen to the next verse.
For rebellion is like the
For
sin.
For rebellion. When I rebel against God, it's just like me practicing voodoo and witchcraft. Y'all know about voodoo and witchcraft? Anybody know about it? There was a lady one time. Sure how you can get messed up. She felt like somebody had put some roots on her. Y'all looking at me. And so, this is what she said. And she was a Christian. She said, well, the devil put it on me, and the devil gonna have to get it off me. I'm serious. So she went to a man who practiced voodoo. Are y'all listening? To try to get the spell off her. The Bible says that when I don't obey God and when I'm rebelling against God, that's just like practicing witchcraft. It's that deep. That's power, isn't it? Read it again, Brother Hill. That's 22nd verse. 23rd verse.
For rebellion is like the sin of divination.
The sin of divination or witchcraft.
And arrogance. Like the evil of idolatry.
It's like the evil, God says, when a person is arrogant, it's just like he's practicing idolatry. Isn't the Bible a great book? Isn't it an awesome book? So it says in conclusion, church, this is a new year. Feel the power, rather feel the pressure, but use your power. And I would dare say today that a lot of us don't use our prayer power enough. So I'm wrong, church, when the only time we intensify prayer is when we get in trouble. Listen, I'm not telling you don't pray when you get in trouble, because we sure need to. But Jesus said men should always pray and what? Not lose heart, or don't become discouraged. So I've tried to tell you today that there is pressure in the world. I don't know, perhaps somebody here today is feeling and facing the pressure. But I got some news for you. No matter what you're facing, there's power for you. Are you listening? That power is the power that makes the sun fall from the sky every day without making a sound. That's the real power. That's the power that makes this world spin on invisible axis. That's the power that hangs the sun and the moon in the sky on invisible hinges. That's the real power. That's the power who flung the stars way out yonder like they were exquisite chandeliers in their silvery sockets. That's the real power. And that power is the power that saved me from sin. Hallelujah. Oh, that's some power. That took all of my sins and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. That's the power that is so great. One glad morning, when this life is over, Sister Pat, I'm going to fly away to be at rest. That's the real power. Feel the pressure. Living in this economy, living in this world. Yeah, feel it, but use. Use your power. Is that all right? Oh, I tell you, there's a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. Lord, it sounds like music in my ear. It's the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Is that all right? Jesus, that name is the dome of all vocal grandeur. Jesus is the name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue gotta confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Is that all right? But not only do I love to hear his name, I love to hear his voice. Is that all right? I hear his voice coming down through the centuries. And he's saying, let not your heart be troubled. I hear his voice coming down through the centuries saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is that all right? I hear his voice saying unto me, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Is that all right? His voice saying, my sheep hear my voice. Is that all right? His voice keeps coming down to the centuries saying, cast all of your cares upon me, because I care about you. Is that all right? I tell you, Jesus is the one I need to get by. Jesus, he's bread when you're hungry. Jesus, he's water when you're thirsty. Jesus, he's a light when you're in darkness. Jesus, he's a friend when you're lonely. Is that all right? Jesus helps me to be a bridge over troubled water. Jesus is a mind fixer and a heart regulator. Is that all right? Jesus is a burden bearer and a heavy load sharer. I tell you, whatever the question is, Jesus is the answer. Whatever the problem is, Jesus is the solution. Whatever the bondage is, Jesus is the deliverer. Whatever the burden is, he's the liberator. And whatever the need is, Jesus is the supplier. Is that all right? Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's in a class. All by himself. And I know one thing I'm going to do. In 2012, stand on your feet, please. That's the message. One thing I'm going to do, I'm going to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Is that all right? If anybody here this morning need prayer, that's power right there. This church got power, ain't it? We got prayer power. Is that all right? We got preaching power. We got singing power. We got fellowship power. Is that all right? We got a lot. The Bible said be strong in the. So you listen, you can't be a weak Christian in 2012 and stay away from wicked living. And if you're strong, listen, if you're a strong Christian, any strong Christian here today? Any strong Christians here? You ought to help the weak Christians. The strong should bear the. Of the week. And there's enough. Everybody here ought to be striving to get stronger in 2012. Stronger husband, stronger wife, stronger teacher, stronger Christian. If everybody gets stronger, what happens to the church? If everybody gets stronger, what happens to the church? It gets strong. It goes to another level. Is that right? So the Bible says, feel the pressure, casting all of your care upon the Lord. Why? Because he. Anybody got issues today? Anybody got issues? Cast your care. Tell the Lord all about it. I don't care what it is. Tell him, Lord, it's something, and Lord, it's worrying me. Lord, I'm facing some, and Lord, I feel the pressure. And he'll say to you, I care about you. Tell me all about it. Whatever you face, just tell me about it. Feel the pressure, but use your power. Because he said, I'll never leave you. When you die one day, I don't want to die soon, but if I die and y'all around, y'all come to my funeral, huh? I know y'all going to come back here and eat cake and potato salad, string beans and fried chicken, and probably have some cold drinks too, huh? I mean sodas. Amen. But you know, here's the beauty of it. All your friends gather around your grave. And the officiant returns the body back to the grave. And then all of the friends walk away. And there's that casket. Everybody gets back in their cars and they drive away. But there's one friend not going to leave you. Go down in the grave with you. His name is Jesus. Even in death, I can use the power. I hope this year I'll be able to just go to another level of teaching and preaching to help us realize what we have in Christ. When I go the last mile of the way, I sit wreck at the close of the day. And I know their joy awaits me Well, when I gone, the last mile of the way.